Advent, the Lord spoke to me, and he told me, he said, the last week of the year, he said, you teach on tithing. And how many people have been in this church for a long time? We started 6 years ago, and I think I've only taught on tithing one time in 6 years. I hate teaching on money. I don't like it at all. I know preachers, we get that rap that all we want to talk about is money. So I try to stay away from it, and I would not be teaching that today unless I didn't feel like the Lord specifically told me to teach this. And but I'm doing you an injustice if I don't teach you how to handle your money and how to deal with your finances. So we're going to talk more than just tithing. It's going to be a whole money management thing today. So we're starting in 1 Kings, verse 17. I know that some people think that to talk about money is not spiritual. And if you're one of those people, let me say this as graciously as I know how to, you're wrong. And if you think that talking about money is not spiritual, then you would say that Jesus was not spiritual. Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven and hell combined. Because we deal with money a whole lot more, right? He dealt with the things that he knew that we would be dealing with. So he does care. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 says, the word of the Lord came to him, which was Elijah, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. That's a really important line right there. Did you get it? You know, I had read this story all my life, and I didn't get it. I didn't see that. See, I've already talked to a widow. You know, we teach this story, but we miss that line. If you ever receive a prophecy, you make sure it complements what God has already told you. Right? Do not let it lead you. Let it confirm what God has already told you. When Elijah gets to this town and talks to this lady, God had already been there first. He had already commanded this lady what to do. That's why there was not the shock in her life. So he says, see, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and he said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as I have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on this earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Father God, we just come before you today, and I pray, God, for your anointing. Lord, I know your anointing is upon your word. It's always anointed, so I pray for the anointing to be upon me and the words that come from my mouth, God. I pray that I would not speak what Eric thinks, but I would only speak your word, your thoughts today. God, I pray, Lord, that the ears of these people, Lord, would be open, that we would hear what the Spirit of God has to say for us. And I pray, Lord, that we would absorb it, and then we would do it. And God, that you would change our life and change our future and change our inheritance, God, by obeying the word of God. So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love this story because it's crazy. right? I mean, it's just out there. Here, Elijah is the one that gave the word of the Lord that says there's a famine going to be in the land because of the sin of Ahab. There was a famine and everybody was suffering. You know, when leadership is bad, the entire place suffers, right? When leadership is right, when the good people get in, when God's people gets in, the city is blessed. So right now they're going through a tremendous suffering. The word Zarephath means refining or a test. And when God starts dealing with your finances, it's always a test. It's a test. Will you? I'm going to tell you, I started paying tithes when I was a little kid. And yet every so often, we go through a time that we have to see, will we be faithful? Not just to tithing, but to what God puts in our heart to do. It's a test. I remember Treva worked at a place for 27 years. And then all of a sudden, the company sold. They went out of business. She had a great job, enjoyed it. And the first thing that hit my heart is, what are we going to do? We've lost our insurance. We've lost everything. We lost that income. We still had small kids at home. What are we going to do? And that fear wants to hit your heart. And I remember after the fear hit my heart, I got mad. And I thought, how dare you, Satan? See, I have a promise from God, right? Because I've been faithful. God has to be faithful when I'm faithful. And I thought, how dare you? You think I'm going to back up on what God has given me? I'll show you. I'll double what I give to God. And we did that for over 3 years. We doubled what God had given to us. And she works for the Hannigans now, who happens to be in here. I wasn't planning on sharing this story. I'm not sharing it because they're here. But she's blessed. We're blessed. You see what I'm saying? We didn't enter into fear. We stayed faithful. It was a test to see if we'd stay faithful. Can you imagine this woman living in the land of refining, living in the land of a testing? She says that she's going home and she's basically going to make the last meal for her son. And then they're going to starve to death, basically. But God has already told her there's a man of God coming. You're to provide for him. You know, I always believe that she fixed him one meal until I just read that. She didn't fix him one meal. He ate at her house every day after that. Because God is a provider. You don't have to fear the economy of America. You don't have to fear the economy of this world. You don't have to fear in your job because they are not your provider. God is your provider. But that's a big one right there. He says, I believe he said, sis, don't walk in fear. Because when your finances look like they're going to dry up, the very first thing that hits you is fear. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? And he begins to teach her some principles. He said, you got to overcome that fear and you got to put God first. The arrogancy of this man, if you look at this in the natural, you think, how could a man do that? Right? Is that not your thoughts? How could a man go in and say, well, I don't care if you're fixing the last meal for you and your son, fix me one first. I mean, I'm to tell you, if that happened today, we'd run that guy out of town. We'd take him to court and we'd say he needs to pay back everything he's taken from these little widows. God's way is not man's way. Man's way is not God's way. They run contrary in thought. I believe that money, first of all, let's get this principle right. Money is not evil and is not right. There's nothing holy about it. Money is what they call amoral. But it takes on the morality of who's holding it. If you're evil, your money is evil. If you're righteous, your money is righteous. So it takes on the morality of who's got it in their hands. This woman, God had already spoke to, so Elijah says, don't walk in fear. Put God first, fix something for me, and God will provide for you until this thing is over. And it's exactly what happened. Supernatural provision was promised and delivered. How many people need to walk into some supernatural provision? Whether it be money or healing or any kind of grace, I need come on, would you guys get with it? Thank you very much. There's five principles I want to talk to you today about money management. And first of all, the very first one I want to talk to you, because it's got to come first, and it is tithing. And you need to realize tithing is a test. It's honorable, it's biblical, and it has a benefit to it, okay? Tithing means 10%. So that's why we say that the tithe is 10%. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 18 through 20, it says, then Melchizedek, and if you read in Hebrews chapter 7, you can determine who Melchizedek was for yourself. Some people think he was just a man. I really believe that this was Jesus before he became the incarnate Christ. Jesus took on many forms in the Old Testament, and I believe this was Jesus. And he's the king of Salem, and he brought out the bread and wine, which I think is very significant. What do we use bread and wine for? The Last Supper, when Jesus celebrated with his disciples, he brought out the elements of bread and wine. It's covenant. It's a covenant, the elements of covenant. And he was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now this happened 500 years before the law came. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. A lot of people think, well, tithing is Old Testament. No, sir, it came a long time before that. It was 500 years before God gave the law to Moses when Abraham tithed. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 through 22, it says, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I will come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I've set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all of that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So here we see Jacob tithing, and that's 400 years before the law. So he's continuing the principles that Abraham did. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be full, filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So we know there's a promise, but I want you to catch the first three words. Why do we tithe? It's a matter of honor. What does honor mean? It's a respect, but it's weight. It's giving weight to something. In other words, he has more credibility, more value, more honor, I'm going to put his words. We don't treat everybody's words to us the same, do we? Right? If somebody you really love and you really respect tells you something, you hold it dear. Somebody at the gas station tells you something, you say, oh yeah, right. You don't treat those words the same, right? I'm getting ready to come down there and preach to you folks. The Lord says, honor him. We honor him through our giving. Tithing, I want you to get this, because too many people sees this as a law, as something they have to do. Tithing is honor. You're giving back to God because you understand that he's number one in your life. Matter of fact, the Bible talks all the time about it being a first fruit. You don't tithe with what you have left. You tithe first. Then you pay your bills. And I know that goes against the grain of everything. There may be a time in your life when you had to scale back some things where you can tithe, but and it's worth it. Do it. Matthew 23:23 says, woe to you, you scribes and you hypocrites, Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay a tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. People always say Jesus never taught tithing. Well, obviously they never read Matthew 23:23, because right there, Jesus teaches tithing. He's telling the guys, tithing's not the all and in all, right? You're tithing, but you're missing some of the other more important things. But he says, these you ought to do. So he's telling them, remember, he's telling them, you should have tithed. You're doing good when you tithe. That's great. But there's other things that you need to do also. There's a lot of people, you know, I think it's interesting. If you talk to people that tithe and you talk to people that don't tithe, they basically have the same testimony. People that tithe says, I'm blessed. People that don't tithe say, I can't afford to tithe. Right? How many times have you heard, I just can't afford to tithe? No, you can't afford not to tithe. When you don't tithe, God removes his hand and Satan throws his big old ugly hand up there. And he says, well, I'll just take this then. And I'll guarantee you he'll get more than your 10%. Tithing redeems the other 90%. Malachi chapter 3, which you, if you know I'm preaching on tithing, you know you're going to go to Malachi. Chapter 3, verses 8 through 11 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, and what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole house, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So God gives them a word, a pretty harsh word. He said, you've been stealing from me. That means to me, God takes this personal. You guys have been stealing from me. And he said, how have we been stealing from you? You hadn't been paying your tithes. And he said, but if you'll pay your tithes. Now, I think that many times we get real legalistic on this. And I'm not teaching this to say bad, bad, bad. You hadn't been paying your tithes. Shame on you. There's no condemnation whatsoever. I promise you. No condemnation. I am strictly teaching this for your benefit. I want you to be blessed. To be blessed, you need to put these principles into your life. If you want to see God bless your finances, you need God's blessing on your finances. You got to start with this. You got to start tithing. So, I was raised, the very first job I ever had, I mowed a yard for a lady, and I paid tithes on it. I was like 9 or 10 years old, and I paid tithes on it. I've never not paid tithes. And I've been through some difficult times, but I'm going to tell you, I'm extremely blessed because God is faithful. It's never been my nemesis, or it's never been my big challenge to not tithe. So I'm not coming to you with judgment. If you're saying, man, you just don't realize, Eric, how difficult this is for me. I do realize how difficult it is for some people. That's not for me. It has never been difficult for me, but I was raised like that. If you've not been raised like that, this is probably a difficult pill to swallow. But I still wanted to let you know, you need to swallow it. Your medicine is good. You need to swallow this one. It's going to bless your life. But I will say there's other things that I may go through that I may find very difficult that you may not, right? It's like drinking. I'm teasing. But the Lord says, he says, there's some things that I'll do. He said, if you'll tithe, he said, you're going to see that I'm going to open up the windows of heaven for you. Now, I don't know what you see in your mind when you think about that, but when I see God opening up the windows of heaven, I see blessings coming down. Because I don't think there's anything in heaven that's bad. So anything that comes out of heaven down into the Kelleher home, we will accept, right? We're not going to say return to sender. We're going to say, yes, Lord, bring it on. We'll take it. He says, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven for you, and I'm going to pour out a blessing. And the third thing is, and I'll rebuke the devourer. See, John 10:10 says Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. It's one of the the premier things that Satan wants to do is steal from you. And if you're not tithing, I'll guarantee you, he is stealing from you today. He is taking what belongs to you. I don't know how far to push this envelope, but I'm going to push it a little bit. Some of you wonder, why are we always sick? Why do things always break down? Now, let me tell you, anything mechanical breaks down. But when everything breaks down at the same time, Satan's usually in it. Right? You can always tell Satan because he overplays his hand. So, it's because you're walking out from under the blessing. You need the Lord's, you need the Lord's umbrella over your family and over your finances. So I just encourage you, begin to be faithful in this so that God will rebuke the devourer. But tithing is not the all and in all. This is where most Christians get it wrong. Most Christians believe if I tithe, the other 90% is mine, and I'm going to walk under the blessing, and I can do whatever I want to do with the other 90%, and woo! That's not true. I know some preachers preach it like that, but it's just not true. You still have to be wise with the other 90%. You've got, can I just say this? The word budget is not four letters. And it's not an evil word. God wants you to use the other 90% wisely. And he may ask you to give in other places. I wish that it would be to a point that wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to write $10,000 and $100,000 checks? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. If you can write a check like that to a missionary or a ministry, that means you got some cash somewhere. And I believe God sets people in the kingdom to finance ministry. So why not you be one? So the second thing I want you to realize, besides tithing, God blesses diligent hard work. I didn't really think I'd get an amen on that, but I thought you'd be relieved to get off tithing at least. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, he says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which has no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supply in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard, when you rise from your sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man." We have too many people setting back because of the doctrine of prosperity has been taught not scripturally. We have people setting back saying, one of these days, my check's going to come in. And that is not scriptural. God says, I will bless the work of your hands. Where there's no oxen in the barn, you'll have a clean barn, right? But you want poop in the barn. Can I say it? Because you want a lot of oxen making a big mess where you hadn't going to make more work, but it's going to be a blessing to you. The ant, you don't have to teach ants to work. They work automatically. They don't need supervision. They know their job and they go to it. Quit expecting God to do in your life what you're unwilling to do. Go to work. I wish that was preached in every pulpit in America. Guys, if you're 50 or older, you understand this, but I'm going to tell you, there's a generation behind us that does not understand the principles of hard work. There are some that do, but there's a generation coming up that believes they're entitled to things. I can tell you what you're entitled to. You're entitled to a job. And that's not a... Boy, I know this is just wonderful preaching. Bless God, this is a way to start the new year out. God will bless you as you present yourself diligent. Go to work and watch the blessings of God. I believe in prosperity. I do not believe I can sit on my hands and expect God to prosper me. God will bless you as you go to work. The third thing I want to teach you is that patience is needed in the area of finance because wealth is accumulated over time. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, it says, "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare." Let's stop there. I think that's the church. I think the message of prosperity has increased this. I believe there's a lot of Christians that have a desire to get rich, and it's a selfish desire. And I think you need to deal with it. I think you need to say, why do I want more? Do I want more because I want nicer clothes or a bigger car or a nicer house? Or there's nothing wrong with things. I don't believe there's anything wrong with things. But I believe the church needs to get serious about ministry. I believe the church, Jabez says, enlarge my tent. He wasn't asking for God to give him a bigger tent. He was asking for more influence in his life. He was saying, God, I want to be influential for you. When Christians get the desire, the selfish desires out of their heart and get God's desire in their heart and says, God, if you'll give me money, I'll put it in your kingdom and we'll see ministry expanded. God will bless that person. God's looking for funnels. He's looking for something that he can pour some things in so that it comes out on the other side. Okay. He says, when we fall into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now get this part right. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's the love. It's not money itself. It's the love of money. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. God wants to bless you. I promise you this. God wants to bless you. You gotta keep your attitude right. You gotta do some things right. Don't fall in love with God, or with money. Fall in love with God. Doesn't say seek ye first money. It says seek ye first the kingdom. We're getting this backwards in the church. Quit seeking after what God can do for you. Seek after Him. I really believe with all my heart that money will follow those people that are seeking God with all their heart. I believe money ought to be a non-issue in our life. Paul said it. He said, I've learned to be content in all things. There was probably times in Paul's life when he had an abundance, but there was times when he didn't know what he was going to eat tomorrow. But he always ate. David had it. David said this. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God is faithful if you will do His word, if you will put His principles into play. Number four, borrowing money makes you a servant. And co-signing for others is wrong and unscriptural. Well, now that got some reaction. Bless the God, I thought you guys had a voice. Most people don't realize co-signing is wrong, but it's unscriptural. Okay, Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. How many people want to be debt-free in their life? There's nothing wrong with that. That should be of value to you, and you ought to make that a prayer in your life. God, help me to get out from under debt. And then make a pledge, I will not buy anything that I have to go in debt for. For the rest of my life, I'm going to operate in total cash. And you can do it, including your houses, with God's blessing on your life. I promise you. See, God doesn't respect people. He treats us all the same. He respects His word. If you will treat His word, if you will honor His word and say, God, your word is more valuable than what I think. See, to me, tithing makes no sense whatsoever. In this little head here, I think, you give 10% away and you get a blessing? Yeah, that just doesn't make sense. And it doesn't. Because this head up here has got some carnality in it. It's God's way, not man's way. I'm going to go God's way. Even when this head doesn't understand it, I don't have to understand it. I just know if God said it, it's got to be right. So I'll put His principles into play instead of what Eric thinks. You guys are the quietest I've ever seen. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. He says, "My son, if you become surety for your friends." What is surety? A co-signer. "If you become a co-signer for your friend, you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son. Deliver yourself, for you have come into the hands of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler." Don't stop. Go get out from under that thing. What you don't realize is the next time you go to the bank, they're going to say, "Well, how much debt do you have?" And you'll say, "Well, this is what I owe." And they'll say, "Have you co-signed for anybody?" Because you know what? In reality, that's your debt. It's not theirs. It's your debt. It's not scripturally sound. Don't. I'm going to tell you, this divides families. This divides churches. Every once in a while in the church, you'll have people wanting to borrow money from each other. Stop it. Do not. If somebody asks you to borrow money in church, here's the answer: no. You hear me? The answer is absolutely no. I will not loan you a dime. If you can't afford to give it, you don't loan it. What happens, it splits churches. People will leave the church because they have borrowed so much money from each member that they're now ashamed to go there. They can't face their friends anymore, so they'll go elsewhere. You're not helping them. You're actually bringing a division in their life, and you'll bring division. It actually even happened to the Senior Citizen Center. When I was running that, I would see people coming and they'd start borrowing money. I know, well, it's just a few months and they'll be out the door. I'll never see them again. It happens in church all the time. Stop it. It's not biblical. It's not sound. It's not wise. And you're not helping. Now, if you want to bless somebody, that's very scriptural. If God places on your heart, "Hey, help the Woodards," or "Help Brother Andre," that's a blessing from God. You say, "Well, Eric, I can't do that." No, probably because you don't have the other principles in place. If you get the other principles in place, then you could be a blessing to others. You getting it? But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. I can't tell you how many couples in their 30s I have given financial wisdom to because they're frustrated and they have little children. And man, it takes every dime they make just to make the bills. And I say, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep plugging along. Be faithful to God. The blessing is coming. You got to be patient. Wealth is built like this. It takes time. Be patient. God is at work and God is faithful. Loaning money to others is a dangerous thing. If you can't, please get this. If you can't afford to give it, don't loan it. Treve and I've been down this road. We loaned money to a family member. Took him 20 years to pay it. During that 20 years, he probably bought 10 new cars. Every time a new iPhone would come out, he'd have a new iPhone. He had a new stereo. He got all kinds of new things, but he couldn't pay that $500 back to us. At the same time, we were going through the hardest financial time we had ever had. Treva was going to the grocery store with $9 or $10 to feed a family of four for a week. She had to take a calculator because we were so close. It was a test. It was a test that Eric Kelleher got us into, but it was a test, I'm telling you. Treva took the test, but I got us into it. She'd have to take and try to feed a family of four on $10 a week all the time. Somebody else owed us quite a bit of money. You know what was happening in our heart? We were getting mad. Man, he affords all this stuff. Why can't he just pay us back? And then one Christmas when we didn't need it, God had blessed us. He pays us back. And I'm like, I wanted to throw it back at him. Because I'm like, I've forgiven you. I finally got this mess out of my heart. Now you give it back to me? You know, all my life as a kid, I just wanted to be a millionaire. Because I was raised so poor. I mean, we were really poor. So I just thought, I'm not going to marry. I'm going to be a millionaire. And man, I'm telling you, I was willing to work for it. But that was my goal. I wanted to make lots of money. That lasted until I was 18, met Treva, and I threw that desire out the window. And she says that she was my million, and now I need to work on my second million. I finally, about age 23, I finally got this stinking thing out of my heart. And it was a cancer. That desire to be rich was just a cancer. And I finally got to the point where I was able to surrender it and just give it to the Lord, and I was free from it. Thank you, Jesus. A few months later, I go to church. A guy that works in ministry, he prophesies over me and Treva. And he says, God's going to make you rich. Everything you put your hand to is going to prosper. It made me so stinking mad. I left church. I was like, God, I just got that out of my heart. And now you tell me you're going to make me rich. I was so mad. And Treva said, well, maybe we ought to consider this a blessing. You know, God's an amazing God. I'm telling you, He just bumfuzzles us all the time. Don't let money have you. You keep your heart free. And if God wants to bless you, that's His business. You do what you're supposed to do, and God will bless you. The fifth thing, listen to this. Be generous to others. Be cheap to yourself. Be generous to others. Be cheap with yourself. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. There is one who scatters yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. You see, we get this one backwards. We're stingy with others, and we're very generous with ourselves. We've got it backwards. Be generous with others. Be stingy with yourself. If you want to get out of debt, you've got to quit spending. You cannot keep spending and get out of debt at the same time. Put the brakes on. Where do we spend a lot of money in America? In the restaurants. And 3 hours later, there goes $20 or $40 or $60 down a toilet. I can't tell you how much money is spent foolishly. Do we have to eat? Yes, but you don't have to eat at a restaurant every day of the week. You're blowing way too much money. You know, we spend more on dog food than we do on missions. What was this thing we heard yesterday? Oh, it was something about that. Yeah, she's still trying. Beth says she's still traumatized about the toilet. I can't believe you said that. There's a lot of truth to that. No, he didn't go there. I believe that we should be generous with others. I really believe we should. If you have the means to be a blessing to others, be a blessing to others. The only way you'll ever get there is by being stingy with yourself. This is a great principle. Live below your means. My uncle taught me this years ago when we first got married. We'd been married less than a year. And he came to me. Treva's always worked our entire life. Treva's always worked. Even when we had children, she's worked. I've never made much money. And he said, Eric, don't get used to two salaries. He said, you never know when you're going to lose one. That was probably the wisest thing anybody ever told me. And yet, there are people that cannot make 1 week. They are living week to week to week, and that is such bondage. There are people that think, if I get sick, I won't be able to pay my rent. That's not what God wants for you. That's not God's desire. That's not the best that He can do. Well, I'll start paying my tithes and everything will be okay. Not if you don't put the other principles in play. I know that tithing has been taught by the church for years that it's the end all. It's not the end all. It's the beginning. It is the beginning principle. I remember talking to my buddy, the Church of Christ pastor, and they don't teach tithing in their church. And I said, he said, I bet you guys really have a great offerings, don't you? I said, no, not that great. And I'm not talking about this church. I was talking about the church I used to go to. And he said, well, you guys teach tithing, don't you? And I said, yeah, but most people don't tithe. Now, I don't check on who gives. I don't know anything about the finances other than what comes in and what goes out. Mandy doesn't tell me, and I don't ask. I've never asked. I don't want to know because I want to treat everybody the same. But you would think that people have this idea. Everybody goes to a church that teaches tithing, tithe. Well, that's not true. Just like everybody that goes to a Spirit-filled church is not Spirit-filled. Everybody goes to a church that says divorce is not right. That doesn't mean that nobody in there has been divorced. Right? Okay, God told me to speak this to you. This is not enjoyable for me, I promise. And it's probably not been real enjoyable for you. At least it hasn't appeared to be. I would rather preach about anything other than this. But the Lord specifically told me, and I won't say that on very many things that I preach to you, but God, I'm telling you, God told me this, but He did it with a promise. He said, tell them this, that if they will tithe in 2018, at the end of 2018, they'll be much better off than they was in 2017. That's the promise of God. The Lord spoke to me a few months ago, and He began to tell me about 2018 being a promise year for this church, the people that go to this church. He said, this is going to be a year that you're going to begin. It's like the children of Israel, when they walked into the promised land. For 40 years, they wandered in the desert, but there was a day when they walked into the promised land. 2018, I believe, is that year for us. But it's very dependent upon you and your actions. So the other day I was eating out with my spiritual father, and he began to prophesy over this church and over us. And he said the exact same words. He did not know. I had never shared that with him. I had not even shared that with Treva at the time. But then he began to prophesy, and he said, I'm going to tell you, Eric, he said, 2018 is going to be a great year for your church if the people will do. And that's the term right there. You've got to put the principles of God into action. It's not what you know, it's what you do. Put God first in every area of your life, and finances is important. When God gets your finances, He's got your heart. When people get mad at church, the very first thing they do is stop giving. When people get saved, the last big thing to be surrendered is their giving. It's difficult for everyone, but it's still a principle of God, and it's a principle of God that bears promise. Just like the principle that says, honor your fathers and mothers, that your days will be long on the earth. That's a principle of God. So is tithing. He'll open up the winds of heaven. He'll pour out a blessing. He'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. These principles are very spiritual. Even though they may not appear to be spiritual in your book, these are very spiritual principles. It goes beyond human reasoning. You can either say, well, I just don't believe that. but I really don't care what you believe. And you don't really care what Eric believes. What we both care about is what the Word of God teaches. That's what's of primary interest to us. So I pray for you today that you will take this Word and that you'll put it into action. Not for my benefit, for your benefit. You will be blessed if you will do the Word of God. Amen. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your Word. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you contained things of all different nature in your Word. God, you deal with sin issues. You deal with all kinds of issues, but you even deal with money. And Lord, you deal with money a lot, and how money can get into our heart, and how we can have the love of money, and all kinds of principles on money. God, your Word deals with money a great deal. So Lord, we give it some balance today, hopefully. And we've taught your Word, and I pray, God, that people will hear the Word of God and take the challenge to be obedient. So they'll take this test and they'll test you in this area. God, it's the only place in Scripture where you tell us that we can test you in this, that you are faithful. So Lord, we will test you in 2018, and we're going to be faithful in our giving. I pray, Lord, that those that are not, Lord, that they would hear the voice of the Spirit today saying, being faithful in this, and I'll pour out a blessing upon you. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, for the riches of heaven to be poured out upon those who make this decision in their spirit today to follow through on what your Word has commanded them. God, I thank you, and I pray that we live a blessed life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Ray to come and close us with a blessing.